Federation of Small Business Insurance. So why don't you see if Pi can save you up to 30%? Check your rate today at pieinsurance.com. That's pieinsurance.com.
There's a place in Pennsylvania where the aroma of freshly baked bread takes you back to a kindler, gentler time. A time when families still gather together to enjoy a handmade tomato pie. When traditional recipes and fresh ingredients combine for an authentic old world taste. That time and place still exist at Corpolese Bakery and Deli. Since 1924, the Corpolese family has been sharing their favorite foods and flavors with their favorite Philadelphians. Hand-carved deli meats and cheeses, freshly baked breads, rolls, cookies, pies, and more. And of course, the world-famous Corpolese tomato pie, voted best in Philadelphia in 2014. Corpolese Bakery and Deli in Norristown, Limerick, and Douglasville, where four generations of pride go into everything they make, including hoagie and party trays, specialty cakes, and stromboli. Take yourself back to a better time at Corpolese Bakery and Deli, where nostalgia isn't just a word, it's an ingredient. Learn more at CorpoliseBakery.com.
Mark Farzetta here. Joints strain. Backs get tweaked. Injuries happen. And now you can't do what you used to. Well, that's just part of getting older, right? Wrong. Not with the Rothman approach to orthopedics. Now celebrating its 50th year, the Rothman approach combines minimally invasive techniques and insights from working on top athletes to provide the most advanced orthopedic care possible. So you can put pain behind you and be what you were. With same-day appointments available. You can start today at RothmanOrtho.com.
Did you know there are over 700,000 podcasts available today? And that number is expected to double within the next 2 years. With the explosion of podcasting comes the demand for fresh talent. And Connecticut School of Broadcasting in Cherry Hill, New Jersey is conducting a search for new podcasting talent. At CSB, we teach you skills that can get you jobs in podcasting, audio and video production, broadcast media, sports broadcasting, and more. Our broadcast media program is approved for veterans training. Broadcasting, podcasting, new media. Take your first step at GoCSB.com. GoCSB.com.
The voice of the Philly sports fan. 97.5, The Fanatic. WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia.
A Beasley Media Group station.
Home of the Sixers and Flyers.
No damn time.
.1027.5, The Fanatic, Rob Motti with you. 610-632-0975. We're talking Phillies and Sixers, and I'm trying to look for the optimism surrounding both teams. I laid out for you the Phillies. I gave you some of my Sixers reasons, because this is, we could beat them up all we want to, and it's an easy thing to do, to beat up on this team when you see the dysfunction that occurred this week. But at some point, you got to come to the realization that this is the team now. Yesterday, I fielded a lot of calls on, you got to break up, you got to trade Joel, you got to trade Ben, you got to do that. Well, you can't now. This is who they are. You're not going to make a major move. The deadline has passed. This is what they are going into the playoffs. So my hope is, and my reason to be optimistic is, that perhaps little dog Glenn Robinson III and Alec Burks come in here, and they give their, the infusion of their addition can give them a boost. My hope is that Brett Brown recognizes that he's coaching for his future, and therefore will be willing to make difficult decisions that may not necessarily sit well with some of his players, but are for the best interest of the team. And then I look at, well, Joel Embiid's playing, and although I hate the fact that he's not in shape and he struggles at times to get up and down the court, you can't completely discount the fact that he's got an issue with his hand, that he's wearing this splint, and then maybe when it comes off, he will be a more aggressive, better player, because we have seen Joe, when he wants to, take over games. We have seen Ben Simmons, usually with the absence of Joe, be dominant and take over games, even though he doesn't have the shot that we all know he needs to have. But I've seen Ben Simmons. We all watched him against Brooklyn go 34-12-12, and we say, well, that was Brooklyn. Well, then he went 28-10-8 against the Lakers on 12-15. So there are reasons to look at this team and go, with the potential matchups, that, yeah, they could be a team like Boston if they match up in the first round, because they've handled them four out of the last five times they've beat them. And you look at Toronto and you go, for as remarkable of a turnaround, well, not really a turnaround, as a defending NBA champion, but the expectations were so low after they lose Kawhi, top three player, top five player, Danny Green, a significant player on that team last year. They lose both guys, and yet here they are, the number two seed. But even with those two last year, the Sixers took them to Game 7 on the road, quadruple doink to beat them. So there should be reason, with a healthy Embiid and a full complement of players, if that is the case, that there should be some confidence that maybe they could beat them. So I'm looking at those reasons as reasons to be optimistic about the 76ers, and I laid out why I feel that way about the Phillies. Arnold and Cheltenham wants to talk about Joe. You're on 97.5, The Fanatic. What's up, Arnold?
I got more than Joe. One, when I watched that game last, they lost. Reggie Miller said he had the same injury. He thinks it's the fingers. He said, they said, you had the same injury? He said, yeah, same hand, same fingers. And I was in the stands with the doctor when he got that injury, and he said he'll be back after the All-Star game. Now, Ben Simmons, when he's playing, he's shooting, just shot comes from the foul line. Now, he's starting to hit them foul shots pretty good.
He is getting better. Yeah.
I think with that, and they play pretty good with shooters on the outside, so these two guys should help. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
So you're on the same page as I am, Arnold, that you're looking at reasons to be optimistic about the Sixers down the stretch, that maybe they can make some real noise in this postseason.
And then on top of that, when they went in that funk when Embiid came back. Before Embiid came back, they won two games on the road in a row.
Yeah, they did go kind of coincided with Joel coming back, and I think the him coming back, not being completely healthy, is certainly a factor. Like you said, when he first suffered that injury, we thought it was going to be 6 weeks. He's back now after, what was it, 3 weeks? So you can argue, well, if he's not completely healthy, he's out there hurting the team. At the same time, we complain when he's not out there and we say he's always injured. It's kind of like a lose-lose for him. He's playing. He's just got to suck it up and play and give you whatever he can. But, yeah, you're right. So I look at a team here that maybe they can. Now they got a Bulls game here. They got the Clippers here. If they can win those two, get the 9 days off, get healthy, maybe come back and make some noise. Appreciate the call, Arnold. Have a good one, man. Mike and Cherry Hill, you're on 97.5, The Fanatic. What's up, Mike?
Hey, man. You guys are crazy. If this anybody thinks there's a silver lining in this, they must be smoking. And I'm not talking about cigarettes, man. This is a bad team. And you bring in Little Dog? Is that what you say? And Alex Burke? Man, come on, man. This is bad business, man. This is bad business. And you're going to have to circle around to what we said. I told you before. You brought in you hired a GM that had no experience. I mean, his experience was the G League, man. What kind of business? This is crazy thinking, man. And you go back and you look at some of the missteps and the mishaps. They can't overcome those within one season, bringing in Little Dog. And so, to me, don't be surprised if they get knocked off early. I mean, that Toronto team has a chip on their shoulder. They're trying to show the world that it wasn't just Kawhi. And I don't blame them. I mean, you see how they're playing great. And Siakam has stepped up. You know, that team's doing everything right. They got a real GM, okay? Musai is a real GM. We got a guy who said Ben should be an intern or some kind of assistant. You can't just give a guy because he's a nice guy and wears suits. You know what I'm saying? I don't understand this, man. This is bad business. What do you got to say?
Well, I don't smoke anything, so my optimism isn't coming from smoking anything, Mike. But I hear what you're saying, And in Toronto, you got a great coach. You got a nice structure. You got guys who've stepped up. And they have really taken over with the absence of Kawhi and Danny Green. And like you said, I agree. I think they do have a chip on their shoulder. Now they've won 14 games in a row. The good news for the Sixers is they're not going to fall to 7, so they're not going to have to face Toronto in the first round. They would more than likely play Boston in the first round if they finish at 6. They've beat Boston 4 out of the last 5 times, so I don't have any reason to go into a first-round matchup against Boston and think that they can't beat them. They could get knocked off. They could get knocked off in any first round series, but I think they can also win that first round series.
Okay, well, that may be true. That may be true. Okay, but you know, that's where you were last year. So, I mean, all the moves you made, the money you spent, and everybody's, you know, we're optimistic about getting out of the first round. That's not what we signed up for. You know what I'm saying? You got way more talent than that. And so to me, I'm kind of nervous. I'm not one of those Ben haters. Okay. I think Ben just, needs to be given a little bit more leeway in terms of this is the game that he plays. You can't wish cast this guy to be what he is and just let him flourish as the player that he is. And then get some other guys around him. Joe, I think it's a problem, man, when we keep talking about the guy's not in shape, man. I mean, when are you going to get in shape? You're an NBA player. When are you going to get in shape? And I'm sick of that, that we keep talking about, is this guy in shape or not? Is this guy in shape or not? They said, they asked the guys the other day, the manager and the GM, is he in shape? They talked around it. And they're talking about he plays hard. Man, who cares about that? Man, I want to see a guy able to play 35, 38, 40 minutes a night.
Well, I agree. The problem with him not being in shape is a consistent problem. As far as playing 38 and 39 minutes a game, Giannis only plays 30, 31. And I appreciate the call, Mike. Thank you, man. I don't think you need Joel Embiid, especially with Al Horford here, to play 38, 39 minutes. I'd be happy with 30 minutes a night. When you look at what some of the other guys around the league are playing, you look at a guy like Giannis, and you see that right now he's averaging 31 minutes a game. Well, Joel Embiid don't need to be playing 38, 40 either, especially without Horford here. What I would like to see, and what a lot of people have talked about, is maybe bringing Al Horford in off the bench and having him. And the Sixers have every starter plays an average of 31 minutes or more. That's what they're, all of their starters. Well, maybe you knock 4 or 5 minutes off of Horford's time, have him play 25, 26, have him play about 18 at the 5, and have him play about 8 at the 4, and have him come off the bench. Maybe that could be a solution, and although that would be difficult to put a $109 million guy on the bench to start, it's not really where you start, it's where you play and where you finish, and if he's such a team guy, maybe that'll help him. And you plug in, whether it's Burks or Thibault, you move Tobias to the 4, and then you see if that can give them a different look, a different vibe. Those are part of the decisions that Brett Brown has to make. Those are the reasons that he has to look closely during that 9-day All-Star break window where you got 9 days between games. We'll see how they finish up the next two. There's no reason to think they shouldn't beat the Bulls tonight. And then you have the Clippers on Tuesday as they ride into the All-Star break. And if they could win both of those games, go in on a 3-game winning streak, and then really look at it and evaluate what can we do to be better set to make a run. And that's a good point that Tyler brings up, that Milwaukee's putting teams away early and the Sixers are not, and therefore Giannis can go to the bench and rest up, and the Sixers, meanwhile, are struggling. Right?
Yeah, I think that's why their numbers are a little bit skewed, is because a lot of times Giannis is sitting for 10 of the 12 minutes in the fourth quarter, you know, and they're using their other guys, you know, and Middleton's the same way.
Last year, he was at 32.8, and last year, again, they were good. Now, there was that stretch 15-17 where he was up around 36 minutes a game. But if you have Horford being the backup center rather than the starting power forward, if he's the backup center, you can live with a lineup of Joel off the floor and Horford in there as your five for 18 minutes, for 17 minutes, whatever it may be at that position. That's what I thought is going to be his most valuable use. But we'll see. Vince in South Philly, you're a 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Vince?
Hey, Rob. How you doing?
How are you, bud?
Hey, real quick. You know what's funny about the Sixers? You know, I keep thinking back to that quadruple doink shot last year. I know it's hindsight and everything, but do you realize if I understand sometimes you still have to make changes to a team, but if the Sixers ended up winning that game, and, you know, they had a chance actually to make it to the finals, believe it or not. I mean, it's just something where I think sometimes people, now we got a completely different team out there, and I'm a little less optimistic about this year, obviously, but I still think there's something you could salvage here, and I think, unfortunately, Brett Brown has to, I don't know if he has it in him to read the Riot Act, but, yeah, I'm just amazed at how quickly things have changed since last season. I think sometimes, again, it's hard to explain, but I'm sort of somewhat optimistic, but then I think there's like so many things that have to go into place right now. So who knows? I mean, it's obviously involving minutes and that kind of
thing. Yeah, and here's the thing, though. When you go back to last year, like the thought was that maybe you try and run it back, but clearly Jimmy Butler didn't want to be here. That's why he forced their hand. By wanting to go to Miami, it forced them to then therefore try and make different moves to replace him. And Tobias, they had no choice but to max him out. And now they couldn't bring Jimmy back because he wanted to go. And it looks like, right? It looks like he made the right decision. We all said, why is he going to Miami? Like, what's he? He don't want to be here. And now we hear all the speculation that it was Jimmy and Ben didn't really quite mesh. And I know he got along with Joel, but maybe he didn't like what was going on in the locker room. So you look at that and you go, well, they couldn't bring it back, but did they make the right decisions by giving Horford that money? It doesn't look like it now, Vince, right? It certainly doesn't. But, you know, as I look down the stretch and I go, this is what they have now. So what can happen down the stretch and into the postseason to go, well, you know what? It's not all gloom and doom. And I look at the fact that we know that at home, they're almost unbeatable. So now we're talking about them having to just figure out how to win on the road. And I'm hopeful that the two new additions and the guys maybe getting healthier will be able to help them figure out how to get respectable on the road.
Yeah, I think there's still time to obviously, you know, again, obviously be more competitive on the road. But I like I said, I'm just hoping, you know, I guess what I'm hoping for is like not for the team to regress as a result of, you know, say what happens in the playoffs and stuff. You know, I hope it's not a complete flame out in the playoffs, because then I'm almost afraid of like going through another process now.
Oh,
you know,
man. And can you imagine? I you know, I don't think at this point it can go there. No matter what it looks like, I think before they try and blow it up, what they would do in the offseason is bring in a new coach, see if a new voice can make changes. Maybe in the day, I don't think they're going to go into a full, let's blow it up and start fresh. Not when you still have your two stars are 25 and 23. I think it's too early to give up.
Oh, sure. Definitely. So, you know, we shall see. And again, I'm hoping the Flyers can also continue their,
I got to say this about Claude Giroux, and he reached a milestone yesterday with 800 points. He's got to be one of the most underrated athletes that we have ever had in Philly, like underappreciated and underrated. Wouldn't you agree?
I'll be honest with you, Rob. To some degree, yeah, but to some degree, I always considered him like on the next peg in terms of like elite players. I just never viewed him as an elite player.
No.
And I just thought, I don't know. It's hard for me to say about Giroux because I followed him when he was in the AHL and stuff. I mean, I still wish the Flyers had kept guys like Patrick Sharp. You know, I mean, talk about, you know, like guys like that who I look back on it. I mean, it's a shame like they, you know, some of these other guys flourished in other places and, you know.
No, so. I hear you, man. And I appreciate the call, Vince.
All right, take care.
Have a good one as always. Hey, you look at a guy like Claude Giroux. Yeah, he's not Crosby. He's not Ovechkin. He's not going back to the days of Lemieux and Gretzky and in that upper echelon. But this is a guy who's had a heck of a career here, and I think the fact that he's played on teams that have not made it to the playoffs and has been on a struggling, but other than way back now, I can't believe it's been 10 years since they went to the Stanley Cup final in 2010 with that incredible run, that he, I think he's just a little bit underappreciated. 610-632-0975. I appreciate people who reach out on social media, and you can find me at Twitter at Rob Motti, and you can always tweet at the show too, anything at 97.5 The Fanatic. And I always appreciate the kind words. And Christopher Hayes, thank you, man. I appreciate it. That was a nice note. He said that he's been down on Philly Sports for a few weeks, and my show today has been a huge help. Yeah, I think it's so easy for us to just to bash. Because, you know, and here's the thing. I could come on here today, and I could bash the heck out of the Phillies for not making a move like Arenado or Bryant yet. And I could bash the heck out of the Sixers. And people will pile on, and you'll want to call, and you'll want to talk about it, and you'll want to go in all on both teams. But that's the easy thing to do. And I understand that frustration. I get it. I know you're disappointed. But when this is, I look at sports like I look at life, right? Control what you can control. So if you're a fan of a team, or if you're a media guy like I am, we have no control over what they do. All we can do is choose to look at it from a different perspective. And my perspective on the Sixers is, yeah, I know it's been difficult. Yes, I have very little expectation anymore that this is a NBA Finals team. But I'm looking for reasons to be optimistic, and I laid those out for you, and I hope you can look at them and go, you know what? Maybe he's right. Maybe as I'm going all in bashing this team, I can look at it and go, well, perhaps the new guys can help. Perhaps they get healthy. They figure out how to play together over these next 20, 23 games. And then they go into potential matchups in the Eastern Conference playoffs where, although they would have to go at it from a disadvantage as a team that doesn't have home court, where they're almost unbeatable at 23-2, if they could steal a game on the road, if they can match up against the Boston team that they've beat, if they can match up against Miami, who they should have defeated on the road back in late December, early January, when they had the back-to-back one-point losses, Miami and Orlando. Should have won that game. And I go, you look at Toronto, for as great as they're playing right now, they're not going to win out. And you took them to a Game 7 quadruple doink with Kawhi and Danny Green, who are no longer there. And they're still a great team, but and with Joel missing in action for a couple games. So there's I look at those reasons as going, yeah, you know what? I think there's reason to be somewhat optimistic about this team. And as for the Phillies, yeah, I know what they didn't do, but I know what they did has improved them from last year. So while I don't go into the spring training thinking that this is a World Series team, I also don't go into spring training saying this is a last place team, they're done, they have no shot. Because I don't know. And I think that maybe Joe Girardi can get a couple wins for this team. Maybe a guy like Brian Price as the new pitching coach can unlock some of the players' potential. And you got to have some hope that some of the guys currently on this roster are going to step it up and play up to their capabilities. I think Bryce Harper is going to have a monster season. I really do. I feel that Bryce Harper is poised to have a MVP-type season. The way he finished last year, the fact that he came in late, had to live up to the enormous contract that he got, I think this year he's poised to have an incredible season. So I'm laying out my reasons for optimism for the Sixers and the Phillies. And you can agree with me. You can tell me, like the caller or two ago said, you sound like you're smoking something. I assure you, I don't smoke anything, never have, never will. But you can come at it from any point of view. 610-632-0975. Nasir, hang on. I'll get to you next. Rob Motti, 975 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
.30 on 97.5 The Fanatic. This is the Rob Motti Show. I'm here till 3. D-Line will be in at that time. We'll lead you into 76ers versus the Chicago Bulls down at the center. As we get ready, two more games for the Sixers before they go into their All-Star break, 9 days off in between games. I'm sure they'll get a practice in at some point. This weekend hour is delivered by Papa John's. New Papadias hand-folded in four flavors, just $6 each. Better ingredients, better pizza, better than a sandwich. 610-632-0975 is the number to join the conversation. I got some interesting information, some good stuff coming at me or being tweeted at me, so I appreciate that. Keep it coming. Let's go to Nasir in Mount Airy. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Nasir?
Hey, what's going on, Rob?
Did I get that right? Is it Nasir or Nasir?
Nasir.
Nasir. Okay. Thanks, man.
Yeah, I completely agree with just about everything you're saying. You know, just like I was telling the producers, like, you know, I saw some optimism the other day when I saw some of the scores around the league. You know, Houston got blew up by Phoenix by 30 points. You know, Miami lost to, like, the Jazz by, like, 6 points after they beat us. Boston lost to Orlando by, like, 6 points. So, you know, those blowout losses, they happen to everybody, not just us. You know, I'm not going to pretend like, you know, we don't have issues. Yeah, I believe Brett is a problem. You know, you got $500 million starting lineup. You should be able to figure it out, you know?
Yeah.
I agree with you, the new addition to the bench. I believe that's going to help. I mean, you know, our bench was an issue, plain and simple. You know, we can't depend on Furkan and Neto for the playoffs.
Man, I got a stat that somebody tweeted at me. I'm going to read after you hang up, man. And that's going to give you even more reason to be optimistic about the bench.
Cool. Yeah. So, you know, and I'm not beat by regular season bench, honestly. Like, you know, but what I will say, you know, for him, I am happy to see that he's getting to the line more. You know, he's finding a little more comfortable going to the line. That's a step in the right direction for him. But I'm definitely not beat by regular season Ben. Like, you know, I don't know if he's going to do this jump shot this year, but by next year, man, he better be firing them Jones off, man. Seriously, you know.
You know, and I actually thought it would be this year. I thought it would be a little bit more this year, but it hasn't. I feel like, you know, he's going to get there. I do think he's going to get there at some point. It's finally going to sink in. And maybe, man, that's going to be where it takes a new voice to get through to him. But as far as they did win with him the last 2 years, enough to get to the second round, and last year almost to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, but you know that's where a lot of the issues are coming from about Ben, you know, about Joe not being down low as much as he needs to be. You know what I'm saying? Because your point guard is not shooting. You know, if you kick it back out to the point guard, you know, it's a wrap. You know, and then, you know, with Ben Mann laying off him, that gives his man opportunity to go defend against everybody else. So, of course, that jump shot is an issue, but yeah, like I said, man, if he don't get it popping this year, he better do it next year, man. And that's the one thing I kind of feared, that He may not do it here. Then we get rid of him. And next thing you know, man, he's going to torch us.
That's the thing, man. He's 23. I think he's going to get it at some point, maybe 25, maybe 24, maybe at 26. And then he's going to have a long career. And the hope is that he's going to do it here. Now, hang on. I'm going to read this stat to you, and I think it's going to make you feel a little bit more optimistic. Appreciate the call, man. Thank you.
Thanks.
Have a good one. All right. So he mentioned the bench being better, and credit to Rob Manoff, who just tweeted this at me. And this is a really good stat. And D and I talked yesterday about Furkan, the difference between Furkan Korkmaz home and away, because you saw him drop 34 points at home on Friday night. Well, now you look at him at home, he is a 45% three-point shooter, averaging 5 per game. But on the road, he's only a 33% three-point shooter, and he's right there at almost 5 a game, 4.8. So he's taken almost as many, and he is 12% less successful. Meanwhile, you bring in two guys in Alec Burks and Little Dog, Glenn Robinson III, and both of those guys are, in Burke's case, he's a better three-point shooter on the road at 38%, 4.8 per game, same as Furkan. And at home, he's at 36%. And Glenn Robinson is 39% on the road and 40 at home. So now you have two guys, two veteran guys, who I think will give you better shooting, better three-ball shooting, better deep-ball shooting, better jump shooting on the road than Furkan does. So that should right there instantly boost your offense because you got two veteran guys. And when you look at the disparity between this team road and home, as good as they are, as dominant as they are at home, 23-2, yet 9-19 on the road, for me, that road record is just a product of immaturity, lack of focus, not being able to understand or recognize that when you go on the road, it's a business trip. Now, I know what they did all week, and I know all about the Super Bowl and Ben Simmons staying back in Miami and flying home with Kendall and all that stuff. But hopefully, with the addition of two more veteran guys who know what it takes to be ready to play a game on the road. Now, they weren't successful because they played for Golden State this year, and this is a Golden State team that's very bad. So they do have more opportunity to just go out there and shoot and be who they are, and not really, it doesn't matter because they're not winning games. The pressure's not there like it will be here. Yet, they're veteran guys. They probably will know what it takes to win on the road or play better on the road or be prepared to play on the road better than the younger guys on this basketball team. And you need that veteran leadership because you add those two and you get the two guys in what we have in Horford and Josh Richardson. And that can hopefully counteract some of the immaturity that you have and that we've seen on this team, because that's what it takes to win on the road. You got to go on a road and treat it like a business trip. You can't go on a road and get caught up in, where am I going to go tonight? Where am I going to go the night before the game? Where am I going to go the day, the morning of? No, it's got to be all about go there, win the basketball game, and then you got plenty of time in the offseason to enjoy everything that comes with the perks of being an NBA player. You got the whole offseason to enjoy that. When it's time to go and play a game on the road, treat it like a business trip. Now, I'm not saying guys got to be 24/7 work, work, work. You can certainly go to a football game. You can certainly hang by a pool. You can certainly do whatever you want to in your free time. You're not working 24 hours a day. Nobody works 24 hours a day. Yet, you better handle your business when it's time to work. So, I hope that the addition of two veteran guys who are better shooters on the road, significantly better shooters on the road than Furkan Korkmaz, can help this team. So I'm looking for reasons for this team, both the Phillies and the Sixers, to be optimistic about both teams. As I've said throughout the day, throughout the afternoon, it's so easy to bash. It's so easy to come on and say, hey, listen, Phillies didn't do this, they didn't do that, they're not going to win, they didn't upgrade. But what about what they did do? What about some of the moves that they did make? If you think that, and I had a guy tweet at me and say, you know, I was saying that Gabe Kapler may have cost them 4 or 5 wins based on what people tell me, what you think. I wasn't a Gabe hater, but people have said that. One guy said, no, he's cost them 12. Well, if he cost them 12, what's Joe Girardi going to give you on the opposite side of that? How much is Brian Price going to help this pitching staff? How much potential could he unlock? I think there's reason to look at the Phillies and be optimistic as we enter spring training. Pitchers, catchers report. Beyond all the stuff, the superficial stuff that I love. The smell of the grass, the pop of the ball in the catcher's mitt, the crack of the bat, all that stuff that gives you the sun, the weather, the beach, all that stuff that if you get to experience spring training is just awesome and is reason for me to be optimistic every year. But beyond that, the product that I see that's going to go out on that field with additions of Didi Gregorius and the addition of Zach Wheeler, and I consider Andrew McCutchen an addition because they were a first-place team with him last year. Then he got hurt in early June. So you don't have to look at Mike Alfranco anymore. I was a Cesar Hernandez guy, but you don't have to bash him anymore. No, they didn't add Chris Bryant yet. Maybe they will. Or Nolan Arenado. Probably not. But I think this lineup is still deep enough to be productive, and I hope that the new hitting coach can unlock some of that potential, and I hope that the pitching coach, who is a seasoned, experienced, proven guy in Brian Price, can help this pitching staff. And let's not overlook the fact that you got a manager here who is a winner. He's a proven winner. 610-632-0975. I'm optimistic about the Phillies and the Sixers. 610-632-0975. You tell me if I'm crazy or you agree with me or how you feel about both squads. Reed, hang on. I'll get to you next. Rob Motti, 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
.146 on 97.5 The Fanatic. Rob Motti with you. Tyler Zuli here taking your calls at 610-632-0975. Let's get to Reed in Charlotte. He wants to talk about those Sixers and their road woes where they're 9-19. Reed, you're on 97.5, The Fanatic. What's up, man?
What's going on, brother?
How are you?
Good, man. Headed back home to Charlotte. But, I like the show. Just had a couple points, disagree with you on a couple things.
Sure.
Let's talk about Korkmaz, first of all. First of all, I hope Brett doesn't take him out of the rotation. He's in the Korkmaz from 2 years ago. He's quicker. He's stronger. He's better on defense. He's gritty. You know, people are looking at him and they look at his body type and they think, you know, well, he's not athletic or, you know, he's weak. He's stronger than he was as a rookie in 2 years ago. You know, so, I mean, he's a different player in my opinion.
Oh, he most certainly is, Reed. I mean, he's a guy who just dropped 34 the other night. I don't think that he's going to take him out of the rotation, but I think what's he averaging now? 21 minutes a game? Maybe he cuts him to 15, 16.
I mean, his numbers are better than Burke's. I mean, everybody's all enamored about this Alec Burke. I heard, you know, Anthony and a bunch of guys talking about Alec Burke. I mean, he shoots 40%. 38% from three, but 40% all together. Now, what does that tell you? You know what I mean? Like, Like, his 2-point percentage is just the same as his 3-point percentage.
That, you're right. You know it's he's at 41-38. But the numbers that I just read a little bit ago that somebody tweeted at me is reason to be a little bit more positive about him as far as being a 3-point shooter on the road. He's a better 3-point shooter on the road than Furkan is. So if on road games, he's going to get a few more minutes or a few more shots than Furk is. Both of the new guys are better 3-point shooters on the road. Now, Furk is a incredible 3-point shooter at home. He's at, what, 45%? 45 at home and 33 on the road.
Now, before you cut me off, though, there's some, you know, they're getting blown out. Golden State's getting blown out a lot on the road.
Yeah.
They're getting more open threes on the road. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of factors that go into those numbers.
That's true.
Why they shoot better on the road. I mean, they're probably out of 70% of the games on the road this year. So Burke and Robinson are going to get more open looks on the road.
They're not high pressure. I mean? They're not high pressure shots either.
Exactly. You know. So I mean, listen. Yeah, I'm glad we brought him in. They bring a little bit more athleticism. But Korkmaz is a player. He deserves at least 15-20. My last point is, sure, cut me off. I just think as a society, we're way too critical on professional athletes and what they're not doing when they're not working. To them, it's a job.
Mm.
You know, to us, we're looking at it, well, why are they at the Super Bowl? Like, well, it's their day off. You know, why can't they be at the Super Bowl? They're in the same city as the game they're playing tomorrow. You know, who are we to say that NBA players can't be at the Super Bowl the day before a game? You know what I mean?
I agree with you, Reed. I agree with you. I think we as a society are too critical, period. Period. Like, too critical. I mean, just look at this three-hour show that I'm doing today, right? I came on from a optimistic perspective on the Phillies and the Sixers. Had I come on bashing both teams, everybody wants to jump on board and join along the conversation. But when you come on from a positive point of view and you go, hey, you know what? There's reason to be optimistic. People don't want to call in and talk about optimistic. More people are inclined to complain than be happy.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you and I know that. We all know that, man. Hey, thanks for taking my call, bro.
Yeah, appreciate you, man. Safe travels. All right.
Yeah, thanks.
You got it. But no, I don't have a when it comes to the Super Bowl. I knew I looked at the schedule, saw that they're going to be there Monday in Miami playing the Heat. I was like, there's absolutely going to be Sixers at this game. I think what the from the optics of it, what looked bad is palling around with owners, then getting whipped on the court, and then the look of when you're hanging out with the ownership group. Brett Brown wasn't in that photo. And now you got guys who it suggests, and I think we all know it, have good relationships with the ownership group. And then you have a coach who has to be the tough guy or the bad cop in certain situations. And then could he really enforce discipline or make tough decisions and have it sit well with the players when we see them palling around with the ownership group? Does he lose some of his authority? That's the only part of that. Like, if it was just the players in that, what bothered me, I don't mind that they're at the game. I have no issue with them at the game. I don't have a problem with Ben being poolside. He's not going to work 24 hours a day. He didn't put out the picture. I would have preferred that to be a team picture. The guys are hanging out together. They're going through camaraderie. Like, you're palling around with the owners, I think kind of takes away from the coach's authority. That's just the way I looked at it. So that's the only part of it that bothered me. And I know that a lot of people were bothered by it for different reasons. I'm not going to tell you a professional athlete's going to work 24 hours a day. None of us do. We just don't. Aaron in Norristown, he's more optimistic about a different team than the Phillies or Sixers in town. Let's hear from him. He's on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Aaron?
How you doing, buddy?
How are you, my man?
I don't know if you've heard of our hockey team, but the Flyers had an amazing win last night on the road against
seven goals leaders against the Capitals for the first time in, I think, like in the 20-something years that they scored that many on the road against Washington.
That's the best team in hockey. The Flyers are 6-1-1 in their last 8 games against the first-place teams in hockey in the 4 divisions. Their next 5 games are against Florida, the Islanders, Columbus, and Columbus. All those 3-4 teams are battling for the 8th. They're in the toughest division in hockey. This team is, and the trade deadline is coming up. I'd like to know what your optimism is towards them and what trades you think they should make.
Well, I'll be there tomorrow night watching that game and covering that game, but I'm looking at a team that is on the outside right now. Aaron, right now they're not in the wild card. They don't have the wild card spot. They're tied with Carolina. They're both at 67 points. They still got to get in. For as good as they've played, they still have to get in.
Well, they're on the outside looking in, but they're outside. But they're tied in points.
Right.
They're percentage points. But
yeah, but isn't it difficult to get excited about a team? Like, I understand there's certainly reason to be excited about this team. They're young. They got a good head coach. You got all of these elements. But when you're talking about being excited about a team versus the Flyers, who we're not sure. They're fighting to get in versus the Sixers, who we know are going to be in. But what seed are they going to be? I don't think you could say you're more excited about the Flyers' chances. I'm not. Are you 100% certain they're going to be in the playoffs this season?
No, because hockey's different than basketball.
Yeah.
They're not only tied with them. They're 1 point with a game in hand behind the third place, which gives them home ice advantage. They actually are 1 point away from being in third place in their division. So it's
2 points.
Two points. Right behind Columbus.
Yeah.
But they have 2 games against them in the next 5 games.
And a game in hand, like you said. Yeah, they certainly have a chance.
So my question is, do they go out and get a Toffoli or a Carter to give them more push to make the playoffs, which I think if they added one more piece without giving any of their young players up.
What do you give up to get then if you're not giving up young players? Like, what assets do you have?
Well, Carter, you don't have to give up much at all. They're trying to get rid of him. There are teams trying to dump players, just like in the NBA, that are trying to dump players. You can get a Carter, a Toffoli. They have enough depth. What Hextall built, even though he wasn't the ultimate GM, he Ed Waited the Flyers, and he built their farm system. He built their farm system with so much talent. They have 3 goalies that are rated as NHL prospects, 2 of them over in Europe.
That's a great verb you use right there. He Ed Waited the Flyers. Like, he didn't win anything, but he left them with the equivalent of, you got Ryan Howard and Chase Utley.
Yeah, I mean, well, I don't know about all that. They haven't won anything yet, but I mean, they are built more than any of the 4 teams. And I got to be honest with you, of all the 4 teams in this city, they're the least dramatic team. And the previous Eagles, Phillies, and Sixers seasons were all built as championship contenders. This team flying under the radar within 2 years with a healthy Carter Hart, who's, by the way, coming back. And hopefully Nolan Patrick can play, and God bless Oscar Lindblom. Maybe gets his life together.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure.
This team could hopefully contend for a cup in next year. But there's no drama on that team. And this coach, unlike Brett Brown, when their team doesn't play well, he actually calls people out and doesn't count.
I actually appreciated that about him. I appreciate the call, man. Thank you, Aaron,
for
adding a different team in there. And yeah, there's certainly my reasoning for not being as optimistic about the Flyers as I am the Sixers is that they still got to get in. And while it looks like they got a decent shot, they're on the outskirt right now with the wild card. They got a game in hand. They're 2 points behind Columbus in the Metropolitan Division. Yeah, there's certainly reason to be optimistic about the Flyers too as well. Absolutely. I'm not going to tell you no. They got to get in. February 24th is the trade deadline. What do they do before then? Could they make a significant addition? We'll see. 610-632-0975. Mitch and Al, hang on. You can get on next. I'm Rob Motti, 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.